You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hi, this is Jim.
And this is Max.
Check out our podcast, The Step Over, the Liberty Ballers Podcast Network, for all of your Sixers needs.
Player analysis, game breakdowns, who would look coolest in a headband, and more.
Subscribe to Liberty Ballers Podcast feed on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts, and check out The Step Over, a podcast about Sixers basketball.
Mostly.
Welcome into a special At the Podium brought to you by the fine folks at SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. I am your host, Michael Kist, and we usually don't include these press conferences from later in the week because we typically relay the information that Doug Peterson provides during these on our shows. Usually it's just updates on health of certain players and some cookie cutter answers to general football questions, but these two, the Wednesday press conference and especially the Friday press conference, have special meaning, and the tone from one to the other are vastly different. On Wednesday, you'll hear Doug mention that Carson Wentz was included in the injury report for a back issue, but on Friday, after all the news dropped that were detailed heavily in the latest BGN radio with Brandon Lee Gouton and John Stolness, Doug Peterson had questions of a different nature to answer. So the Wednesday press conference goes for about 11 minutes. The Wentz remarks are at the beginning, so in this show, it'll be around the 12-minute mark that you'll hear that Friday press conference with all the questions about Carson Wentz and his back issue. So make sure that you've listened to BGN Radio episode 27, and we'll kick it over to those press conferences right now for you.
All right, good morning. So before you ask, I'm going to run down the injuries for you for today. That way I don't have to go through every single one of them. And if there, it saves a lot of questions. So let's start D-line, Tim Jernigan. He's doing better, obviously, day-to-day, and we'll evaluate him today and see where he's at. You know about Corey, Josh, Jalen. We always made those decisions to put them down. Avante Maddox is improving. Again, he's day-to-day. See how he gets through today and chance he practices, but again, we'll see where he's at physically. Jordan Hicks, another one that's improving. But still day-to-day, see where he's at again after today and tomorrow with a couple of workouts. A new one, Carson has a little bit of back soreness, a little tightness, and so we're going to rest him today, continue to evaluate him, and just make sure he's good. But we'll have more information on all these guys later in the week. Is there anybody else? Sydney, he's another one day-to-day. Day-to-day, yeah.
When did that, isn't the first time that Carson has had some back issues with practice or whatever? I mean, what's the problem?
Well, I mean, sometimes he just gets just a little sore, a little tight, and so we're just gonna rest him today and evaluate him further.
Was there anything happening in the Cowboys game, or is this?
Nothing game-related. Just, you know, he's dealt with it, you know, and so we're just going to continue to evaluate.
Is there a chance he misses this game, Doug?
Again, we're going to focus on today, get through today, and see where he's at the end of the day.
We've talked before about sometimes there being positive memories out of stadium and how that can kind of energize a player. Carson's obviously going back to the stadium where his season ended last year. Can there be that negative side of it too, where you have bad memories from a stadium?
I think a player that goes back to a place of the scene of the crime, I guess, there could probably be a little angst, maybe a little anxiety, but you know, he's obviously, it's a, you know, we won this game last year as a team. All three phases were exceptional, and they really rallied around him last year at this time, and we ended up winning that football game. So it's a lot of might be a little bit of that, but I think there's more, as you mentioned, probably a lot more positive coming out of this game last year than anything else.
What do you remember about the scene in the locker room that night? It could have been a turning point for the worse for you guys.
It was a bittersweet. Still hadn't really got the full report, on Carson at the time, last year. Guys were excited because we had just won the NFC East and playoff spot and all that. So the hats were flying around, the T-shirts and all that kind of stuff. So, and then for me, you're excited for the team, but at the same time, you're thinking about the next week and how am I going to, keep the guys motivated and pushing forward. So, yeah, it was a little bittersweet.
What about the way Carson was playing that game? He threw, the four touchdown passes. Even the play you got hurt on, diving into the end zone and everything like that. Just kind of like how he was playing in that game overall.
Yeah, he was playing extremely well. I think collectively as an offense, we did some nice things. I mean, we were Zach Ertz didn't play in the game, so we had Celek and Trey Burton as our tight ends, and our running game was pretty good in that game, if I remember right. And we made some plays in the passing game. So, and then defense. I mean, defense stepped up really the whole game, and then the big play at the end. To get the sack, fumble, touchdown, at the end to kind of seal the victory. I just remember that as a huge team win last year in all three. I mean, we had a punt blocked against us for a touchdown. There were all kinds of things going on in that game that we were able to overcome, and it's going to be the same again this year.
Wait, you placed two guys on IR yesterday. It's 12 now. Do you feel like you've been snake bitten a little bit by injuries this season?
It would seem that way. It's a lot of guys. I think seven of them, are on defense. Eight, I think Josh now makes eight. But as far as starters go, you look around and it feels that way. I give a credit to the guys that are healthy right now, how they're fighting and battling through. And we are playing with some young guys, but they seem to be improving each week. And it is a tough task, but if it was easy, I think anybody could do it and sign up for it and get it done. But this is a resilient group, and I'm proud of the guys for where they are and what they've accomplished so far.
With Wentz, there's been some games where he's been more aggressive, with his feet, and some where he's stayed more in the pocket. I wonder, is the back issues, can we link those two, where some games he's felt better than others as it pertains to the back?
Yeah, I don't know. It's probably something that you'd ask him about, but I know he's been good. I mean, he's going into game, he's got a lot of energy, a lot of juice, and sometimes it just doesn't happen. The lanes don't open up. I mean, the way the pass rush is coming, and teams know that he's mobile. So, go back to when we had Michael Vick. Teams know how to rush guys that are mobile quarterbacks, and so you've seen some of that too, where it sort of shrinks the lanes just a little bit and it's kept him in the pocket more.
You talked last year about the benefit of staying out in L.A. How come you don't do it this year?
Well, we played Seattle the week before, and then L.A. right on the heels of that. So that was just for us, it was kind of a no-brainer. For me, it's about these players. We have all the resources available to us right here in Philadelphia. And one, they're still around their families, their kids and things like that. And plus all the rehab and the sleep and everything that they can do it right here. And then when we travel, we're going to travel and we'll try to maintain, East Coast time when we even travel. We did it last year when we played the Chargers out there and it was a success for us. And I just feel it's important that we try to keep the same consistency with everything we do, and this is part of it.
Follow up with Corey and Josh Sweat. Are these long-term injuries that will keep them out for the off-season program, or do you expect them back by then?
Well, I think both of them. In Corey's case, it might limit him a little bit in OTAs. Again, without getting a full doctor's report on the long-term effects. I think it will probably hinder the start of OTAs probably in April, but again, we'll see, when we evaluate him at the end of the year and give him a time frame after that.
Is it ACL or is it?
It's his knee.
Okay.
Doug, with Carson, when did he start complaining about symptoms? And are you guys sure he wasn't experiencing anything, any back issues during the game?
We've monitored him, you know, since he tore his knee, you know, since he damaged his knee. So we've been on him and monitoring him. And you know, listen, every player is going to play with a little nagging injury from time to time. I mean, that's just the way it works in this business. And the quarterback's no exception, obviously. And so, you know, we've monitored it and stayed on top of it, and we've had great communication with him. So, yeah.
Your numbers in 12 personnel, first, second, third down.
Here we go.
Have been great. I mean, but they've been your best numbers.
Yeah, they have. Thank you.
So,
oh no, go ahead. Sorry. I thought that was a compliment. It's rare that you compliment us. I mean, thank you for that.
I'm just wondering. I mean, we saw a little bit more of it in the second half of the game. It's just. What have been the reasons why you wanted to use him? Why haven't you used it more?
Well, each week game plans are different, you know, from what we see on film. And last week against the Cowboys, our 12 personnel, you know, it just depends on how the defense wants to sub. If teams go nickel, 5 DBs, then there's a really good opportunity to stay in 12 personnel and run the football, and we've had some success doing that. If a team stays in their base defense, keeping their third linebacker on the field, we've also had some success with matchups, tight ends against backers, against teams like that, and we had success in the second half, last week. So a lot of it's just predicated on the defensive structure. Not every team subs the same way on defense. This team we're playing this week is a little different that way, so it can be a little bit of a balance one way. They play a little bit more base defense to everything on first and second down, so you know it's predicated on the structure of the defense that we're seeing that week.
John D. Filippo is now available. Is somebody consider bringing in here?
You know, I was anticipating this question, but listen. What I'll say is John did a great job for me. He helped us win a world championship, and then he had an opportunity. I love my coaches. I'm confident in the guys we have. So at this time, no.
Have you ever foresee making 12 your primary personnel group?
Yeah. I mean, you could. I mean, you think about where, I think with the how Dallas is blocked this season, how he's kind of emerged himself as a primary blocker for us, and Zach in space. I think, but again, it is predicated a little bit on the defense. It is a bigger body, obviously a tight end versus say a nickel DB or a safety. I think you could consider that as a primary, personnel group. But at the same time, you know, Alshon, Nelly, Golden, Jordan, these guys are also have been very productive for us too. So, you know, we got to keep that in mind as well.
All right, thanks, guys.
Jeez, more than usual today. Must be something going on. Good morning.
Doug, can you confirm that Carson Wentz fractured vertebrae? Is it one? Is it
Here's what I can confirm, that he has a stress injury, that this thing has evolved over time, and it requires zero surgery to heal.
Stress fracture.
A stress injury, yeah. You can word it how you want.
Well,
fracture injury.
Okay. And when did he first start complaining about it, and when did the team first become aware that he had a
It's just evolved over time.
I'm
not going to get into a ton of specifics on this. You know that right now. So
is he playing Sunday?
He's questionable. Listed as questionable.
Why can't you go into specifics about your franchise quarterback's?
Because I don't think it needs to be aired out publicly. It's an in-house decision, and that's the way we're going to keep it. And it's in Carson's best interest right now.
There's been questions about the discovery of the fracture and how that all comes to play. Can you lend any insight into that? Have you guys been giving tests periodically?
What I know is that this thing has evolved over time.
Has it impacted your play
play calling at all in terms of, you know, rolling him out to the side or anything like that, knowing that he's dealing with a sore back? No.
What was your understanding of, you mentioned it happened overtime, what was your understanding of the injury during the last few games?
Again, this thing has just evolved. So, you know, we were rolling.
Does that mean it's gotten worse since he appeared in the injury report in mid-October? Has it gotten worse since that point?
Has he felt worse?
Yes.
No.
Is his placement on the injury report in October related to – is this injury related to the one when he first popped up on the injury report in October?
He has a stress injury, evolved over time, and he requires no surgery. I'm not asking or answering any more questions about it. We're playing the Rams in 2 days, if you guys haven't figured this out. So he's listed as questionable, and that's the way it is.
Okay. Will he make a full recovery?
Yes.
Do you know how long that recovery will take?
Don't want to put a timetable on it, but it could be, you know, 3 months, possibly.
If you decide before you leave that you're going to go with Nick, is it possible that you won't take Carson on the flight because of his back?
No, he's traveling.
If the injury does, is there a risk to putting him back out there? You mentioned he's questionable, which would theoretically give him a chance to play. Is there a risk in further injury if you put him out there?
If we put him out there, there has to be 100% that there's no risk of anything further.
So why was that being
so questionable?
But is there a risk?
So why was that the standard then throughout the season? If this has evolved over time, then it means he's been playing with an injury over time. So why wasn't that the standard when the injury first came up?
Are you following what I'm asking?
Yeah, you're asking when it happened.
No, but for something to evolve,
it takes time. And when is that window? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
where is that window?
To evolve, it means it didn't happen this past week. Therefore, it's been evolving, like you said. So, from the time when it started evolving, why wasn't this identified then?
Because at the time, probably it wasn't identified as a stress injury or stress fracture, as you said.
Okay. So as you look at that from an organizational perspective, is there concern that you had him out there while this was getting worse?
No, because he was, there were no symptoms. He was 100%. He practiced. He was not on the injury report, you know, for this. So, yeah, had no issue with that.
To the naked eye, it seemed like he was not running as much.
I answered this earlier in the week about the Dallas Cowboy D-line and how teams know Carson runs. Rush lanes change. Rush patterns change. Blitzes change to keep a guy like Carson Wentz. And same as I think I even brought up Michael Vick. Teams would blitz and rush Michael Vick differently to keep him in the pocket. So you can't just say, well, he's not running more. Well, put some credit back on the defense and say, hey, they rush a little bit differently too.
What about his production throwing the ball down the field? He's missing throws that typically he does make. I mean, did you guys see all this and think that maybe?
Well, we saw the missed throws, but we're not linking the two together. We just got to get better at making the throw.
On Monday, you said he's feeling as healthy as he's ever been. Was that your understanding when you got back from Dallas that there were no issues with his health?
Yeah.
So for Carson to be able to play on Sunday night, wouldn't he have to go through the same kinds of tests, you know, possibly out in L.A. for that to happen? And what would the feasibility of that be?
Well, I mean, we're still gathering a lot of information, so it's the feasibility is probably pretty high.
When did you guys discover the fracture?
When?
Yes.
He had a test done on Tuesday.
And then the results came back on.
And then everything since that point. So everything's evolved up until Tuesday. Until you do a scan, you don't know.
You mentioned before that, like, you know, ankle's connected to the leg. Well, is he compensating for the knee? Does this have anything to do with?
No.
Have they made any link?
No.
So with the test on Tuesday, was that something that happens like regularly, or did he complain about some sort of discomfort?
Well, you know, we do a lot of testing each week on a lot of players. We've done Tim Jernigan. You know, we do all our injuries. We've done Sidney Jones. We've done all the guys that have been injured. Avante Maddox. We do them all every week. And Carson's no different. He's been on the injury report from the beginning of the season for certain reasons, for other reasons. And so we continue to monitor. And again, that's part of us gathering the information that we need to make sure the guys are ready to go.
You said at the beginning of the season that you're married to him for the next decade. This is his fourth injury of varying levels in 4 years, dating back to his last year of college. So how concerned are you about that going forward?
I think it's a pretty, to ask the question now after 3 years and the injury, you know, situation that's going on. I think you guys can sit here and say that it's probably a red flag. A lot of injuries occur because of the nature of the sport, the violent hits of this sport. Guys know exactly what they are getting into, even at a young age. And Carson's no different. But, you know, moving forward, we just got to make sure that we do a better job of protecting him, starting with the offensive line, starting with the backs. You know, he does his part by, you know, getting the ball out of his hand. I do my part by maybe incorporating more screens and quick throws to help that. But it's not in any way going to change the aggressiveness of my nature or his moving forward.
This isn't the first injury we've had guys, one thing lead to another. There's been a period of recovery, et cetera. Is your comfort with the training staff, is that still at a certain level?
It's at a high level because of the communication that we have, myself, Howie, our docs, Jerome, Shireen. Everybody involved, we've had a lot of really good conversations, a lot of good protocols put in place for every injured athlete that we've had this season.
As a follow-up,
listen, that's a doctor question. I'm not getting into those. That's a medical. I'm not getting into that.
I recognize as I ask this that you're not on the medical staff. But
thank you.
But they're not
for
up
recognizing
here.
That.
No, but they're not up here, and Howie's not up here, so we ask you.
I'm the head football coach.
Exactly.
And so I get the pleasure of coming up here. So, that's my job. Yeah, that's what I have to do.
So as you look at the injuries this season, Carson among them, have you noticed a trend in injuries that have regressed or have gotten worse?
Specifically?
Darren Sproles, Tim Jernigan, Jalen Mills showed up in a walking boot a few weeks into the injury. Sidney Jones has re-injured himself 3 times in games this year. I understand it's a violence.
You know, there's a fine line with guys that can return to play that have an injury, and there's a fine line of how far you want to push an athlete to test him to see where he's at physically through his protocol. And we have a protocol. Each athlete has their own, based on injury, has their own protocol, and we have to measure where he is. I don't know, stage 3, stage 4, however many stages there are in that protocol. And so for these athletes, one, for them internally, they want to get back out on the field. Sproles wants to get back out. Jalen wants to get back out. Tim wants to get back out, the guys you mentioned. So we're going to put them through a sort of our own internal test, right? And so there's a fine line to how much we can push. And then sometimes within that pushing from whether it's doctors, it could be, you know, the trainer, the player himself, there could be setbacks because we're trying to see where the athlete is, and that happens. That happens with everybody in the National Football League. So that's kind of what's happened. But I don't think that we've had a setback or a step back at all with any of that.
Two more questions. Since you're the only person from the organization that is up here answering questions about the medical staff, one question that's never been answered is why were the top 2 doctors fired after you guys won a Super Bowl?
I'm not even going to comment on that either.
Doug, you've had a back fracture before. You know the nature of back.
Mine was different.
I know it is. Back, totally different. And that's where the questions go. And this is a stress fracture, which, you know, I've seen termed as a trickier form of you know, of a back fracture. Is that your understanding? What is your long-term concern when it comes to Wentz?
The information is that it required, number one, no surgery, which is a positive. Mine didn't need surgery either, but mine was completely different. Mine was a transverse process that was broke off with some other damage back there. So two different injuries. And the fact that he doesn't need surgery on this, I mean, is the best news that you could possibly have on anybody that has a stress fracture or stress injury in this case.
But in terms of the long-term outlook, I mean, is there still a level of haziness because of the trickiness that comes with, especially a
stress fracture? No. As long as we take the proper steps to make sure that all our players are 100%, then no.
Why not show them down?
Thank you.
I'm out. I'm out.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seemed Smart. It Seemed Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seemed smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.